Welcome to Vine Grove Baptist Church. I hope and pray you've joined to worship with us tonight in spirit and in truth. Tonight I want us to look at the healing model of Jesus. The healing model of Jesus. Psalm 147 verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Now, I want us to look tonight of how, and there's a multiplicity of ways that Jesus heals, but I want us to look at the different ways that we can possibly relate to in the healing. First of all, pay attention that I started out with the brokenhearted. Folks, until we get our hearts right, until the brokenness of our heart is secure, we will not think properly. We will be moving through pain, or we'll be moving through habit, or we'll just be moving along because that's what everyone else is doing. So the Lord says, I want you to understand that I'm going to heal your broken heart. Now, we can pitch out there many, many reasons as to why we're heartbroken. Heartbroken over a nation, heartbroken over a family, heartbroken over personalities. Our heart seems to get broken over just about anything. But the Lord says, I'm the one who does the healing. It's interesting to me that when we're searching for doctors, we're searching for, and we should, we're searching for the right doctor. We need to understand that the right doctor is only the right doctor if that doctor is under the guidance of Almighty God. That right doctor happens to be the one that Christ surprises us with. For those individuals who have a difficult time making decisions, the greatest health hazard in your life is refusing to make a decision. Procrastination, now it's even worse than that. I know folks that could not make up their mind to walk across the street. And I'd be afraid to see them walk across the street because I know they're going to stop right out their middle and end up being roadkill because they'll think they made the wrong decision. And God says, I want you to let me speak to your heart. When we're speaking of the heart, we're speaking of spiritual. We're speaking of how God speaks to our spirit. Okay, what gives us the strength of the day? Our spirit. Our spirit is superior to our human brain. There is a separation, yes. You are a spirit, and yet you will have folks, or scientists and all, I'll let you know, that's just a part of your brain that gives you those feelings, good feelings, bad feelings, or I forgot the part, or the part that lets you know that your spiritual part, I've heard them say that, I think, my spiritual part's my spirit. Mm-hmm. Spiritual part, spirit, okay. And the separation of who I am and who you are, that separation is spirit. Our spirit came from God. Now, I believe that. I believe it with all my heart. Okay, so if I'm brokenhearted in spirit, why is your countenance down? I mean, remember how God would confront his children and says, why are you sitting there, you know, Joshua? Good gracious, you prayed long enough. Would you shut up? You know what the problem is? Quit praying and getting up. Now, that was a paraphrase of mine. But that's when Joshua, if you remember coming out of battle, and he was saying he was so broken because he just couldn't understand why, and it was an angel of the Lord saying, get up. You know what the problem is. Sometimes we'll get in prayer to keep from recognizing the problem. Sometimes we'd rather just pray about it longer. It gets back to those individuals who say, well, I got to pray about whether or not I go to church Sunday. I got to pray about whether or not that I'm going to do something good today. No, you don't. If you're a Christian, we're told to do good. If we're Christians, then God, we understand that the good things of life that God leads us to do, I don't have to pray about them. I don't have to pray and say, Lord, now I'm going to get on my knees and in prayer and ask you whether I ought to be taking that person's life. And folks, again, the people that I had in the prison systems over the years would commit murder because they believed that God told them to. And people like me and the other chaplains got in trouble because we would not let the outside groups give them Bibles. And we were counted among all of the most of heathens as a prison chaplain. But what they didn't understand, the people they were giving them to were the kind of people that would translate that Bible into their most wicked of wickets and then blame it on God. God said I could do this. Okay. When Christ says, I will heal the brokenhearted. First of all, let's look at the paralyzed man. The first thing that God does, he calms our fears. Now, if you're afraid, I don't matter whether we're going into combat or whatever, if you're afraid, you are not going to be able to hold that M14 or any other type of weapon in your arms without doing that. I know. I mean, you cannot control it. The same thing holds true with life itself. So the Lord says, now, you got to let me calm your spirit, calm your heart. Talk to me, Larry, and then I will give you strength. That's that holy boldness. Now, the human body will shake and tremble, but the Lord says, stand strong, and I will deliver you. He calms our fears. Matthew 9:2. Some people brought to Jesus a man who was paralyzed and lying on a mat. When Jesus saw the faith of these people, I'm going to stop there. I want you all to look close at that. Some people brought to Jesus a man who was paralyzed and lying on a mat. You got it? When Jesus saw the faith of these people, he said to the paralyzed man, the people that brought him had the faith. Are you getting that? You and I are to help carry the burdens of our brothers and sisters. You just can't do it all for someone. Well, no, you're right. I can't do it all for someone, but here's what I can do. I can carry them as far as I can carry them and then set the rest of it right at the feet of Jesus. How do I know that will work? Jesus saw the faith of these people. He said to the paralyzed man, now listen to this one, be encouraged, son. Be encouraged, son. Can't walk. Friends carry him up there. Be encouraged by the friends. Absolutely right, Gene. Absolutely right. Your friends that have brought you, my Father has recognized their faith. You know, we fuss at people and say, well, you just need to have more faith. If you had more faith, you'd be healed. And I just want to wring people's necks when they say that. You see, you and I would have no faith at all without the Holy Spirit guiding us in our faith and in our strength. We are battling the battles of life, not only in this world, but in the spiritual realm, meaning all hell has broken loose against us. Therefore, will you not find even throughout the Old Testament of where God would send those who would, Joshua and Caleb holding up the arms of Moses, And as long as Moses' arms were being lifted up, Israel was winning, but the Hebrew nation was winning. But as soon as they get tired, and so what do? They go up, you stack rocks underneath him, and one on either side, and hold him up. That wasn't Caleb. You should have corrected me, man. I can't. Do y'all remember who it was? There was two of them, Joshua and Hur. Not the TV one. Hur, I believe, are the two that was holding them up. Yeah, I guarantee you that bell that just went off means somebody heard me, and they're straightening me out on that one. Yeah. Anyway, it was always have someone to be with you. It is the responsibility of each of us as fellow and sister Christians to watch after one another. The each individual can not always be up all the time. If you're up all the time, you need to go on and get on home to be with the Lord, because you don't belong here at all. There has to be pain in this body, and we know it. If I'm alive, I know I'm alive. Why? Because of the pain. I mean, I start, and then those older than me, you know, get this stuff, and then it's a continual hurt all the time. You and I need to remember that the brokenhearted, that heart belongs to the one who gave it. So is he not watching me to make sure that I do all that I can to quiet the beast inside the man or the woman, to be able to lay out a truth of love? And it is never, this is not the way to do it. Well, if you'd just read your Bible more, and if you'd have a little bit more faith. And I told you that you went out and you bought that red car, preacher. Shame on you. You knew good and well that was evil. And you get those kind of people around. And I've joked with you all over the years. But I tell you what, when I was called into ministry, had one of the first things told me, don't ever buy a red car.
You knew I had a red car.
And so what does Jean do? She goes and buys a red car, but the preachers couldn't have them. It was too much of the world. Yep, that we had to dress down and all of it.
I got a red car. Randy's got a red car.
Yeah, both of you all have red cars, don't you? So I think the pastor ought to be allowed to buy a red one if he wants to. Yeah, yep. I do. Okay. But the key to this is other people have no authority over us. The only power they will have over you or me is the authority or power you will give them to allow them to do it. Well, you ought to confront people about, well, I did this. Now, let me give you this one over the dancing. Baptists don't dance, and Baptists don't gamble. And I said, okay, show me the scripture that you're talking about dancing. Did David, Brother Randy, dance?
All of his might.
Yeah, and he got in trouble with his woman, didn't he?
Yeah, he locked her up.
Yeah. That's the only way he could get any peace at all, when he locked her up. But that was a fact. Dancing, you know, thou shalt not dance is not in there. What everybody says is, yes, but it was, you're around a situation there that could get you in trouble. We don't need have to be around any situation for us to get in trouble. I know us. Larry? Oh, man, I can tell that just by looking at you. Right, Kathy?
Okay.
Yep. Oh, perfect brain, but it was a... But everybody wants to, you and I need to look at life this way as a Christian. Folks, I'm saved. I'm not saved because I didn't gamble, didn't drink, didn't chew, didn't do anything else like that. That's not the reason I'm saved. I'm saved for one reason. and that's of Jesus Christ. He's the one who died on that cross for me. And I don't have time for the foolishness of people who want to seem more pious than others and blame an illness. Blame an illness because they did something bad to them. You know, I knew God struck them. If I think God's going to strike somebody, let me tell you. I'm on my knees. I'll pull Randy down to his knees. We will pray that God please deliver them. That's what we ought to be doing, not offering harm. So what does that tell me on the fear part? If I had the friends around me like I have right here, Christian brothers and sisters, I am already around those who love me and those who will encourage me. And because, have you ever got to the point to where you just didn't want to pray anymore? I mean, you've cried, your heart's out. You don't, Lord, I don't know anything else to say. I can't even recognize anymore when you're working in my life. I don't understand anything that's going on with me. Is that not about intercessory prayer? Does that not bring into play then for those who love me to intercede on my behalf? Because let me tell you, let's get real again. We are not always in our right capacity. If you got enough pain, you're not going to think straight. If you got enough brokenness within your heart, you're not going to act right. You're not. So if I'm not thinking straight and I'm not acting right, do I not need my friends to put me on the litter and take me to Jesus? Are we not commanded by the Lord to pray without ceasing? Does the Lord not tell us that we are to lift each other up and always encourage? And never be, I told you it's going to happen to you. Wouldn't it be great if Christians, this is the way it's supposed to be, and yet the church never began this way, but it's the way the church was supposed to begin. And it was, the world will know you are mine by how?
Love one
another. How you love the brother. Yes, how you love one another. Then the world will know that you belong to me because you love one another. And of all generations for us to be in, like this generation, folks, love is so absent. Not only is love absent from just the gatherings of church fellowships, love is so absent in families. You know, I remember when I had the 10-year-old locked up in jail, and you know, I was new and all of this stuff. Corrections and called the parents, said, would you come and pick him up? Cute little fella. We come and get him, and the mother said, you got him, you keep him. I don't want him. Now, that was my baptism in to that type of a world. And then, remember again, can't help it, it's here, folks. Got to tell you. It was the idea of the wise man who said, now, preacher, I had a lot of good black preacher friends, and I hung around them trying to pick up a few, you know, polished stones, because sometimes we preachers have a hard time polishing the stone. But he said, here's what you need to do. I know you work hard going to that prison. And I know it's day and night you're getting those calls and you're going out there. But I want you to think of it this way. I want you to look at all of those prisoners. And I want you to picture them making up this river. And their heads are bobbing up and down. And ever so often, brother, you go along and you're able to grab one, you know, and I'm smiling. And this, he said, that's not a problem, brother. Go up around the bend and see what's pushing them in.
Yeah.
And that, you know what came true to me on that one? when I went to the churches and said, okay, I will handle them from jail to prison back to Hardin County, and I need your help where I can work them back through the church and the community. And they let me know, we don't want people like that in our congregation. And your pastor said they came from your congregation. What's pushing them in? Today, are we not witnessing the complete downfall of the family? Of the lack of love? And I said the day of it. It's been going on for years. But gradual.
Okay, here's a statement that Mahatma Gandhi made. He said he would have been a Christian if it hadn't been for Christians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And yes, and you know what Jesus says? I keep the Christians. You might be a mess, but you're my mess. And see, but we need to understand that Jesus loves me as being a mess. Have I ever spoken out of turn? Larry, I don't remember. You ever hear me say anything out of the way? I don't remember it either like that, but I'm sure something like that. All those minds think alike, don't they?
Good hearing.
Good hearing. But the Lord says, with brotherly love. You know what that kind of love is? Genuine caring. It's not just, oh yeah, I love you. It is, I love you. I care. I will fight hell. Whatever it takes, as Brother Joe Murray said, Christian ought to walk so close to the Lord that if a mosquito bit him, you'd hear him singing the power in the blood as he flies, as he flies off. And if you got a friend down there that's in them fiery hell things, you ought to be able to have a faith to swing over a hill on a rotten corn stalk singing Amazing Grace. I had great friends in the early years.
You preach that sermon
Sunday. Yeah. This Sunday I am. Yeah. Yeah, we'll see how that goes on. Hebrews 4:15. So we got him encouraged. Be encouraged, son. But who said it to him? Jesus. Jesus. You know, wonder how many times he'd been taken to the priest to get healed. These guys loved him. They cared for him. They're carrying him around. And can't you picture him? They have faith in Jesus. Well, they're not the ones that have been crippled and unable to walk all those years. And yet, Jesus looks at him and tells him to be encouraged. This is the one they lowered through the roof. Yes. He was on the mat, the tour, and everybody got worried about. I remember doing a Bible study on that one time, and somebody took off. You talk about me chasing a rabbit. Said, I bet you, you know, there wasn't anything Christian about that. And I said, what are you talking about? Well, what about that poor guy that owned the house? They tore his roof up to lower him. And that's about as shallow as we come. So now, Hebrews 4:15, Jesus is speaking and says, Jesus is able to understand our weaknesses. When he lived on earth, he was tempted in every way that we are, but he did not sin. You'd notice that's continual tense on every way that we are. It's a continual, and that lets us know that Jesus already conquered all of it for us. Number two way Jesus heals people is he confronts our faults and our failures. You know why he does? We ain't going to do it. You know, even people to admit they have faults and the failures. Listen to people. They can listen to politicians if you want to. Everybody blames failure on everybody else. And everybody else is at fault but the one who is normally the one doing the loudest talking. Luke 5, verse 20. Then Jesus said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Remember what trouble he got into then with the Pharisees? Who does he think he is? Only God can forgive sins. The sins of our life will put us in some bad situations that the Lord would have given us enough sense not to have been in. But, my friends, it doesn't mean I'm not his child. And it does not mean that he will not be in that ditch and help me out. But, you know, sometimes he don't want me out. Now, let me say it that way. Sometimes I need to wallow a while to see and to appreciate what I have and what I don't have, but to appreciate the blessings of the Lord. He doesn't leave me there alone. He stays with me. He doesn't leave me there for punishment, but for teaching. If it were for the punishment like the world says, then that would mean he would leave me down there and come back and check on me later. Okay. James says in James 5:16, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so God can heal you." Now, here again, I've told you, do not go confessing your sins of the world to a group of people or any of that. It's going to end up on a gossip call somewhere. Not what he's talking about. If I've committed sin against you, if I've done something hard to you, I am to come and I am confess. I'm sorry. I'm guilty of this. Forgive me for the sin and pray for each other. So who does the healing? So God can heal you. Now, the guy who paid attention to his faults, the one who looks at it, and I always knew when I would see one of my inmates, and you could almost see the expression on their face change. And the chaplain Dent and I, we'd look at each other and just smile, like a glow would come over them. And you, it would say, "He got it, didn't he? He got it." But that's what the Lord does. But the Lord is in control, and if I've got to stay in the ditch, I got news for you. I ain't alone. And if you got to be in that ditch, I got news for you. I, your pastor, had better be ready to get in that ditch with you. And to pray and to help lift you out. And I don't care what the doctors say. When it gets to a certain point, I break all the rules and I go where infection is. I can't give it to anybody, but boy, all it's going to take is one time for me to catch it. I know that. But you know, it's not that I tempt God when I do it. I know that God says, "This time, go." I have no intention of stepping over the bounds of saying, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to go do something good." For one thing, that's pride. You've already sinned on that part, so you back me up. And that sin, there, you back me up. "Lord, I'm doing what you told me to do." Why are you doing what God tells you to do? Think of that one. Do I do what God tells me to do because I love the Lord and love you all? Or do I do what you all tell me to do because I love you more and let God down. But yet you all had much rather me listen to God than to listen to you. You know how we learn that? We've listened to ourselves too many times and got in trouble. Okay. Third, the challenge. He challenges our faith. It's a big one. Matthew 9:6-8. Then Jesus said to the paralytic, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." And the man got up and went home. Tell me about that one. He was carried out on a mat that morning. He was walking in the door that night. You talk about a witness. Where have you been today? When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe and they praised God. Okay, how do you show faith? You all are going to get a message on this Sunday morning also. You're going to understand something about faith I bet you hadn't thought of. Number one, admit you need help. That's a big one, right? Gosh, I don't need anybody. I can do it myself. Number two, believe that Christ will help. And number three, do whatever he tells you to do. It's whatever he tells you to do, not everybody else. Not everybody in the world has your best interest at heart. For those of you who don't have a church home, you're within the Vine Grove area, you come and see us, 408 West Main Street in Vine Grove. God bless you and have a blessed rest of the week.